hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey, we're doing a sermon series called LinkedIn, and it's all about building healthy relationships. And we've looked at how Jesus said we need to love God with all our heart, mind, and all our soul, and we need to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. And 3 weeks ago I said, to build good healthy relationships, we need to love ourselves first. And for a lot of people, that's hard. And then we looked at Jesus at the well talking about living water to a woman who'd been married 5 times. Jesus was showing her and us that relying on our spouse and our friends and our family to fill our deepest needs will never work. That these relationships will be strained and sometimes end because of unfulfilled expectations of partners. And drinking the water Jesus offers will lead to life. Filled with the Spirit, you will build healthier relationships with your spouses and your family and your friends. And last week, Calvin spoke on about getting along with people, especially in the church. And I want to carry on a little in that direction this morning. See, in this world that is so connected with internet, with people having so many friends and so many followers, why are so many people struggling with loneliness? See, we need more than people to like us. We need people around us that will push us and guide us to the purpose God has for our lives. And I want to talk this morning about the people around you that really, really know you. What I mean is not the church you, the Facebook you, but the real you, the 3:30 a.m. you, the angry you, the sad you, the depressed you, the happy you, the strung out you, the anxious you, the broken and hurting you, and the fun you. Who is in your gang? Your clique, your inner circle. Who can tell you to pull your head in when you need your head pulled in? Who can rebuke you and correct you and encourage you and love you no matter what? Who's in that clique? Who have you got? Who do you have in your sphere that can speak things into your life when you don't want to really hear what they have to say to you? Who can you drop in anytime, even when it's inconvenient for them? But you know they would still want you to do that anyhow. We all need friends like this around us, eh? Years ago, I bought a little poster. I think, Bex, could you put that up? I bought a little poster when I was in Perth by this author, Stephen J. Daniels. And it reads, it's gone? It's gone kaput. It reads, a good friend will help you move, but a true friend will help you move a body. These are not the friends I'm encouraging you to make. But a lot of us have friends like this. They'll do anything for you. They'll help you do anything. And are there for you through thick and thin. But you need to ask yourself, are these the friends helping you reach your God-given purpose? Or are they deviating you off on another direction? You know, you've got friends that will say, someone's giving you a hard time, come on, we'll go and punch your lights out. But they're not really the friends that you want. That's not sort of the advice. The desire for friendship and connection is so strong, people are so desperate that they build relationships with others that are from other faiths, non-believers, gangs, even get into cults, because they just need connection and friendship. And there's nothing wrong with being friends with these people. If we don't be friends with them, we can never reach the world Jesus asked us to reach. But you need to have an inner circle of friends, key friends who are godly, who will keep you heading towards the purpose God has for your life. And maybe there are people in your life right now that are holding you back, that you need to say, couple of words to goodbye. It's tough hearing it from a pastor, but I care about you guys. I want the best for you guys. And some of you are hanging with people you shouldn't be hanging with. Amen? And I'm not talking about good friends saying goodbye to them. I am talking about people that know you follow Jesus, but are trying to drag you back to your old life. They like the old you better than the new you, because the old you feeds into their desires and their needs and their addictions. Jesus loves people, don't get me wrong, but he wants you whole and healed to fulfill your purpose in him. To do this, you need godly friends. And Jesus did just that. Jesus made friends with those who would help him reach his purpose. Jesus walked around the Sea of Galilee yelling out to fishermen, "Come follow me." In other words, come, help me reach my purpose. And while you're doing that, I'll help you reach your purpose. When God calls you, your purpose is to fulfill his purpose. And it always makes me wonder how many people he actually called on that beach that could have but didn't. See, the ones that look up, the ones that look up to his offer know that they have a profession, know that they have a job, but they know it's not their calling. They knew these guys, this was not their calling in life, fishing. Matthew 4:18 says, have we got, yeah, cool. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And they lifted their nets at once and followed him. A little farther down the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, in the boat. With their father Zebedee, repairing the nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus walked along this beach and made four friends that would follow him. Not only did this clique become best friends, they lived together, they prayed together, they sung together, and they went to church together. They were with Jesus every day. Not just every Sunday, every morning. There was Jesus. Every evening there was Jesus. Jesus was there all the time. This godly community. For you to reach your purpose, you need to spend more than 1 hour with Jesus on a Sunday morning. For you to reach your purpose, you need to spend more than 2 hours with godly people a week. You need to be in godly relationships all week to reach your purpose. Godly relationships sound so perfect, don't they? These Christians, love and peace and nice and sweet, all that stuff. But godly relations are made up from real people, and real people are not perfect. Thank you, mate. But God needs you to commit to these relations, even though they can be up and down and all over the place. We need to commit to these godly relationships for us and them to reach purpose, even though it may not be easy. Jesus committed himself to community to reach his purpose. He chose relationships. And if anyone could reach his purpose without relationships, it would be Jesus. But he chose. He chose to be around people. He chose to have close friends, to do life with them. And even that journey with Jesus had its ups and downs. And this morning I'm suggesting you need to commit into a godly community to reach your purpose. Join a serving team in a church. Attend a connect group. And really get to know people. Get into their lives. And you say to yourself, well, I'm so busy to go to connect group. Really? How busy was Jesus? Came to save the world. He was busy. Your inner circle, the friends in your life, need to be led by faith, not by feelings. See, you don't want people giving you advice if they are not getting their advice from the one that knows all. And a lot of our friends have a lot of advice for us. Proverbs 27:6 says this. Love this. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from the enemy. Commit yourself to godly relationships. There will be ups and downs, but don't get out. Stay in there. People get into these relationships, expect everything to go smooth. And when there's this hiccup, they're out. That's not commitment. When you're committed to godly relationships, you know these people are real and they will have real problems. As do every one of us. But God is transforming us. Hang in with them. Once God sees you're committed, he knows he can do something in your life. You're jumping from person to person, group to group, church to church. Not only are you frustrating your leaders, but most likely you're frustrating God. You need to stay committed. See, when Jesus called the disciples to him, they left their boats, their businesses, and committed to walk with Jesus. And Jesus committed to walk with them through all the ups and downs. To have godly relationships with others, you need to commit, and to commit, you need to sacrifice something. And a lot of time, that something is time. They sacrifice their boats and their business and time to be with Jesus, a massive sacrifice. Everything, but God sacrificed his son so he could be with you. And you can't have 50 or 60 godly friends. The Bible says Jesus started with 4, then he had 12, then 72, then 500. But his inner circle, his clique, his wee posse was only 3. Jesus committed himself to these 3 guys completely, Peter, James, and John. So if you have only 3 godly relationships in your life, you're in really good company. And your godly relationships need to be encouraging. For you to reach your purpose, you need to be encouraged. Not all friends are encouraging, are they? Godly friends will encourage you into the purpose God has for your life. Godly friends will speak into your life on who you will be, not who you are now. Jesus saw Simon and called him Peter. Later he says to Peter, "On your revelation of who I am, I will build my church." How encouraging is that? Jesus saw something in Peter when he was still called Simon. Come on, who is speaking into your life today? Who has been encouraging you this week? Man, this thing's driving me mad. I've updated these iPads and it just flies. Just gets out and just disappears. It does my head in. Let me try to find where I was. Yeah, we get in there. Sorry. Who is praying for you? Who in this room is praying for you? Who will pray for you and fast with you for the things God has for your life? They are godly relationships. Not only did Jesus encourage Peter towards purpose, Jesus hung in with him. Jesus knew Peter had some real rough edges on him. He was a fisherman. Sorry, Tony. I know you like fishing. You've got rough edges. And Jesus knew he had to pick up the pieces for Peter sooner or later. Jesus was about to get arrested, and Luke 22, it says this, "But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss, but Jesus said, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?' When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, 'Lord, should we fight?' We brought the swords, and one of them struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear, and Jesus said, 'No more of this.' And he touched the man's ear and healed him." That's Peter with the sword, and that's Jesus with the ear. Godly friends will stick with you when you stuff up. That's grace. But godly friends will tell you, "No more of this," and that's truth. And you need godly friends who will tell you truth with grace. In Mark 14:33, Jesus needs to get away from the crowds and pray, and he takes his 3 closest friends with him. This is a great story. It says he took Peter, James, and John. That's his posse. That's his clique. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus says to his friends, I'm going through this stuff right now that I have never been through ever before in my life. And I know you can't take this pain from me or this burden off me. I just need you to be around and keep an eye on me while I go and pray. I'm too scared to touch this thing. He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it is possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass by him. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus in so much anguish and grief here, he goes back and checks on his inner circle, his clique, and look what he finds. Then he returned and found the disciples, what, asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you watch with me even 1 hour? Jesus was crushed with grief and anguish and now disappointed with his closest friends. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Jesus is saying, I need you guys standing with me today. And the boys are saying, we're with you, Jesus. We're praying for you. We've got your back. And then listen what happens again. Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open and they didn't want to know what and did not know what to say. These guys have ran out of prayers for Jesus. They were so tired and they fell asleep. Have you ever done that? Try praying for a period of time when you're tired for someone. You get down to repeating yourself, hallelujah, 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just can't come up with anything. And you wake up next morning. That's what these guys had, good intentions, but they failed. And I've done this for people in this church and in churches. Had great intentions, and sorry I've disappointed you. We have had this done to us. People have failed us. But we hung in here, and we love these people. We don't spit the dummy and shoot through. When he returned to them the third time, he said, go ahead and sleep then. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of a sinner. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. Jesus must have been so disappointed with these dudes. They were three closest friends. Three times they let him down when he needed them the most in his worst hour. Three times. Most of us would have bolted after one time, eh? But Jesus hangs in there with these guys. See, godly friends don't bolt. They're committed. Godly friends address disappointment with each other. They don't give up on each other. They address the disappointment. Jesus arrested him, Peter denies him three times. John, the one the Bible says Jesus loves, scatters. And James, who knows where he is? They had lost hope and all ended up back fishing. You need more. This shows you need more than one godly friend in your life for you to reach your purpose. Because if you lose one, you end up going back to where you were. Jesus crucified and resurrected, and the boys are in the fishing boat fishing again. Could I have the band up, please? They see someone on the shore. It's Jesus, but they don't get it. In John 21, it says he called out. Fellows, funny, hey, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Jesus knew that they hadn't caught any fish. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Godly friends don't desert you even when you've gone back to your old ways and you've deserted them. Godly friends encourage you. Throw your net to the other side, he says. Jesus showing them that they can't even do what they used to do well without him. John 21 says, then the disciples Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic. He was stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed for shore. Godly friends restore strained and broken relationships. Peter had fallen asleep on Jesus when Jesus was at his lowest point. Peter had lied and denied and deserted Jesus. But in that boat, he knew that this man on the shore was the only hope to reach his purpose. From the shore, Jesus looked out at these three men, Peter, James, and John, in the fishing boat. And even though they had deserted him, he knew that they would help him reach his purpose. To reach your purpose, you need godly relationships. You won't find them in the world. You'll find them in the church. And not just Sundays. Join a connect group. Get involved. Be vulnerable to people. You need to trust to build godly relationships. But your most important godly relationship is with Jesus. See, soon I see so many lonely people in this job. And this message is to encourage you to just join something. But join something godly. Don't go to karate. Well, you can go to karate, but table tennis is awesome. Karate is great if you want to learn to fight. Playing pool's awesome down at the club. But don't take advice from these guys. They won't lead you into the purpose that our Heavenly Father has for you. You know, and I was reading in James about, you know, the people who teach have a strict judgment. So it's really important to me that we get you guys connected up. We get you into connect groups. We get you into groups. We get you loving each other. So as this church grows, that you can't just rely on pastors to bring you through stuff. You're going to have great godly friends around you. They may fall asleep, but love them anyhow. Because they have you on their heart and they have great intentions, and we're only human. Let's stand. You may be in the same boat. You may have gone back to the same boat here this morning. But Jesus sees you from the shore and he says, I can use you. I've got a plan for your life and a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to help me reach my purpose. So if you're struggling this morning, I'd love to pray with you while we're worshiping. As I said, the most important relationship is a godly relationship. If you're here this morning and you haven't asked Jesus into your life or made a decision to follow Jesus, it's time. Or if you've walked away from God and got back into your old life, it's time to come back. So let's just bow our heads. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, you made us to be in relationship. The whole reason for sending your son Jesus was for relationship. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this room today, Lord God, that in the next few weeks, Lord God, that each person in this auditorium this morning will seek new friends, new godly friends. That the people that are lonely, Lord God, that they will find true companionship. And friendships can not only hold each other up, but they can build each other up as well, Father. And we want those friendships to blossom in this church, Lord God. This morning I pray for anyone that doesn't know you, Lord God, that you soften hearts, their friends and their family. Draw them close to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship, if you like prayer for anything, and you're sick in your body, if you've walked away from God and would love to pray with you, it's special today, this morning, we pray for you for that. If you're here and you haven't asked Jesus into your life, I'd love to pray for that as well. Amen. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.